Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on a winky Wednesday. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Built Bar. Remember, use promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first box of Built Bars. And this week, Memorial Week special, an extra $5 off. What are you waiting for? Go to BuiltBar.com. Our guest today is Nick Winkler, as is the huge on an off-season winky Wednesday. We've got some overflow mailbag questions I would like to get into, some news about the league possibly reopening, which is exciting, but let's get to today's guest and get rolling with some winky Wednesday action.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down!
Nick, are you pumped for mini camps that might be coming? They might actually let coaches and players into facilities. Wow.
I know. It's so funny. Like the littlest things now where we get so excited. We're like, yes, the coaches can go back to their offices. It's
like, the coaches are like, wait a second. All right. We got to go back and spend 19 hours a day at work now.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point too. It's like, yeah, everybody, you know, we've been stuck inside and we're aching to get out. And it's like, oh, but this has been like a staycation. You know, we've actually, those of us with kids, not quite the staycation that we thought it would be, but yeah. Dude, anything that has to do with football and, you know, seems like it's coming soon and kind of gives us that feeling of some normalcy and some like, hey, we might get football on time this year is great news.
How many wives are going to be super glad that their husbands are going back to work that are like wives of coaches, because the long hours they work, they're probably not used to having around. They probably had a really nice routine going. And then with everybody in the house all together, I've seen it a little bit here, but not to the extremes that NFL lives are led and how much time coaches spend at facilities and scouts spend on the road and not at home. Everybody at home for so long. I wonder if they got used to, maybe it was not ideal on one side of the spectrum, it became very not ideal on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I read an article about this, the huge rise in divorces coming out of China, like as they started to reopen. And it's like, wow, are we going to see that here soon too? We're just going to see this huge spike. And like, yeah, you know, I loved my wife, you know, when we didn't have to spend every second together. And now that we have, maybe we don't have as much in common as I thought.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Or, you know, honestly, I feel like it brought me and my family closer together. You know, we spent a lot more time together. We got to, you know, it was a lot of bonding and things like that. So, I mean, you know, obviously it can go both ways. And like you mentioned with the football coaches, they spend so much time in the office and they're working so many hours that, yeah, I bet it's really strange for them.
How I'm trying to I had a few questions on yesterday's mailbag. I wanted to run some of them by you. One of them was the idea that, like, what happens if there's an outbreak in one locker room? You know, what if, you know, four players all of a sudden have coronavirus? Like, are they shut down the whole team? Do they just try to individually each time get the each player away, but it could spread so fast? If one team can't practice, is it fair for the league to let all the teams practice?
I read that article or heard the interview with Mike Tomlin a few weeks ago where he said basically like, well, everything should open at the same time. You know, this is all about equality and fairness. And, you know, we shouldn't be able to open up, but someone in another state not be able to open up and get in their facilities. You know, like we should all start at the same time. And that makes perfect sense. And yeah, I mean, can you imagine if one team was just like had this huge breakout and it was, you know, I mean, you'd have to go back and check the team that they just played the previous week and like where they stayed. And yeah, I mean, there's this whole side of it that, you know, we don't even think about. We don't even want to think about because we just want our football back. But yeah, that's really, really wild to think about how quickly, you know, the league could start and everything could be looking great. And then all of a sudden it could just be like, halt it, you know, or do you just take one team out? You're just like, okay, there will not be a Detroit Lions team this year.
Sorry, guys, next year, come back.
Go everyone who played them now gets two byes.
Oh man, it's it's a wild scenario, and it can go so many different ways. That's why, you know, it's sort of cautious optimism. You think, okay, cool, players and coaches back in facilities, and all of a sudden, well, now coaches and players have coronavirus. So that, that ends that. So now let's stop. So yeah, I'm worried there's going to be a spike just in general in the general population because people are sort of getting out there a little bit more. I got to be honest, there's some people Memorial Day weekend that were sort of, you could tell how over it some people were getting a little close.
I saw quite a bit of it a little close. Here near the beach.
Just
decided to say, forget about the masks and I'm going to the beach. And yeah, you know, it's tough. It's tough when it's, you know, 75, 80 degrees near the beach and, you know, and people are wanting to go hang out and, you know, it's 100 degrees somewhere else. And, you know, how are you going to ask somebody to wear a mask and sweat inside of it? And yeah, it's tough times. It's sacrifice times. And it's funny. You see all the memes where it's like, yes, it's so brutal of you to sacrifice your life and stay home and watch Netflix all day. Like, it's,
right.
We're asking so much of you.
And so many people are going to want to hang out, right, too. So because everybody's been not hanging out. So then everybody, once they get whatever the maximum okay is, they're going to take it there and even over the line because they want to hang out with people and they want to be social. And so, you know, worried about another spike that could potentially happen. And, you know, that's sort of what I'm looking at in a micro level with NFL players. You get everybody together, there might be a spike somewhere and then you have to rethink. And then does that quickly taper off as well? And then we're like, okay, now we're good. And, you know, so it's baby steps. It's not like, okay, good. Mini camps are open. Everything's back to normal. Let's go play football. There's still, you know, there's still potential for some problematic times.
Right. But it could all go away very quickly.
Right. But the fact that on the horizon, it's looking like all 16 games could be played in all of the home stadiums is pretty awesome. So I'll take that.
Yeah. And, you know, I would take football in not in home stadiums too.
Right.
You know, like a couple of host towns that just, you know, have every single game and the players stay in a bubble and this and that. And I know that's easy for me to say, you know, I wouldn't be the one inside that bubble. But yeah, you look at other sports that have come back, you know, like the PGA is set to get back here and NASCAR's already back. And these are individual sports. And these are sports where people can social distance properly. And then you look at like the NHL just agreed, like, yeah, if we do this, we've got this new playoff format and this and that. And it's like, okay, now you're talking about, yeah, they wear masks. So that's cool. But you're still smashing into each other. You're still, you know, hitting each other. There's a lot of spitting and sweating and
oh, the players,
things
yeah.
like that.
The players have to be close, and you can't wear a mask over your face and play a sport, and the players are going to make contact with each other. They're going to be around each other. So if a player has it, he can give it to another player, which was the NBA thing. Remember Rudy Gobert? Yeah. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, look, now that can spread to player because you're hanging out, bumping into each other 24 minutes straight in a game. You're going to give it to people. Imagine, like, think about just offensive and defensive linemen. Like just staring at each other's face before the snap. I wonder how that'll alter people's mindsets.
You tackle someone, how many people are laying on top of a pile?
Right.
All of a sudden?
Yeah.
I did read somewhere that they were talking about they're experimenting with face masks and things like that, like on the helmets, of there being, you know, filters and things like that, where the helmet would just look totally different. Like we're gonna wear like Darth Vader masks out there, dude. I don't know. I mean,
and you know,
but then you got to think there's sweat and there's other things. And yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
You get a cut and then the sweat goes in that. Yeah.
You get other people's sweat in your mouth. You get other people's spit in your mouth. I mean, it happens.
It happens.
It's gross, but that's a reality, man. It's crazy.
It is. It's nasty, but it's reality.
You pick up the wrong mouthpiece or something?
Yeah. You pick up somebody's towel, you know, you think it's yours. Yeah. Just somebody laying on top of you, sweating down into your face.
Like, and it's funny. I think mentality-wise, most players feel invincible, and they're like, yeah, whatever, this is bull. Let's go.
You have to play that sport, man.
There's going
to
be some players that, you know, their families are worried, or they're just like, you know what? This is not worth it now. I'm not playing. I'm just sitting out this year altogether. It's not worth it. I'll play next year.
It's possible. I mean, I know there's some baseball players talking about that,
right,
too.
And then baseball is a different level with how powerful their players union is and what they're going to get paid for their season. I don't think they're going to be able to do a half a season. The hockey tournament's interesting because they're like, they figured it out already. They're like, look, 24 team tournament. Let's go. Regular season's over, which 24 teams is like almost the whole league. How did they decide
that? Why
not
just let everybody in at that point?
Basically, only the teams in last place didn't get to play.
It's like seven teams aren't invited. That's sad.
Just all the teams over 500, you get to be in the tournament.
I mean, I guess they were almost done with their season. I think if you're like halfway through or something, or if you were just starting a season, like for baseball, even a half a season, I don't know. Maybe what if you played like some sort of round robin tournament where everybody played everybody like four or five times and then you move on after that or something and you keep it all in Arizona or all in Florida or something.
That's what I was thinking.
I like the
baseball
idea of just something totally different too. Yeah. That way you don't have to worry about putting asterisks by records.
Right. You're not looking
like
at
that.
Normal statistics. You're not looking at someone who breaks some record or something like that.
Right.
And it's just this one season, it's a tournament. You know, there's going to be players that don't want to be involved. There's going to be players that can't wait and will go play for free. So,
Last thing on baseball too. I'm just, as a Giants fan, it's awesome to think that Mookie Betts might not ever play a Dodger, might not ever play a season.
That's another one. Like, you're definitely not trading for people right now because you don't know what you're going to get. That's another. Yeah. What if the Niners, they traded for Trent Williams? What if they never needed to do that?
It's possible. Because the season will count. It is a year, you know.
Although, yeah, the football's not. They're going to play football games. That's
agreed.
Yeah, unless something really catastrophic happens, and you know.
Wouldn't it be smart then if you're worried about losing just a couple guys here or there to like expand the practice squad or something? You know, like this is that time.
Yeah,
right?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did that. I heard people talking about quarterbacks, especially like what if you lose a couple of quarterbacks? Like you just run on the wildcat or what? So you need like four or five quarterbacks on your roster to practice in case a couple quarterbacks get.
Yeah, if you like kept the practice squad actually away from the real squad, you like kept everybody isolated. Like you had like two teams. You had your Niners A and Niners B.
It'd be like the strike replacement players.
Like a bunch of scabs out there. Wow. I like it. Yeah, no, I don't like that at all.
I don't like that at all. Let's not talk about this anymore.
I know, it's depressing.
We started out so excited about what could happen, and then we just depressed ourselves.
So quickly got derailed.
That's where our minds are. That's who you're dealing with, Brian Peacock and Nick Winkler. All right,
let's
get to some mailbag questions.
I like it.
We've got a new offer from our friends at Built Bar this week. Through May 31st, Memorial Week special, $5 off every box of Built Bars. That's on top of promo code Locked On that gets you $10 off your first box of Built Bars. And oh yeah, now 20 flavors. They added 4 new flavors, peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon to their already amazing 16 flavors, 8 of those chocolate with nuts, 8 of those chocolate nut-free flavors, and all bars are covered in 100% delicious chocolate. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. It's a snack you can feel good about because it's delicious, and it is good for you. Peanut butter, my favorite. Is there a better combination than chocolate and peanut butter? The answer is no. Mint brownie flavor, only 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, and 4 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. And this week, only $5 more off. Promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Okay, here's a good one. There's a couple that are somewhat similar. This one's from Mr. Wamptastic. And he said, I've seen some minor league stadiums being listed on Airbnb. What would you pay for a night in Levi's? And I'll add to that question, what would you do with a night in Levi's, even if it was given to you for free?
I mean, do I get to bring anyone? Like, that's the thing, you know?
It's
like
yours.
Just my family?
Yeah. I mean, you can do whatever
can
you want.
Can I find some buddies and play, you know, a little flag football game, a little two-hand touch, maybe go old school and try to get injured and play some tackle football?
I mean, you're on a football field, you have to at least play some football, right?
Yeah. I mean, are we still months away from a season? Can I get out my 9-iron and just start hitting it around the stadium? Like, what are we talking about here?
It's yours,
all
man.
All kinds of fun things.
The stadium is yours. You do what you want.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
I mean, with the weather this week and with all the talk about how much sun there is at Levi's Stadium, I might just hang out in the executive suite.
That's probably smart, yeah. Well, I would definitely go out and kick some field goals, though, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, field goals, reenact the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Just play some ball, yeah. Yeah,
I like
golf,
it.
Anything. Camp out. But honestly...
Yeah, have a little barbecue on the 50-yard line.
Honestly, a baseball stadium, a minor league baseball stadium would be more fun to go get a gang together because you could get a softball game together a lot easier than you can get a real football game going in most cases. Although, you know, getting a football game together would be pretty fun too.
Oh, I reckon that if you had if you posted, hey guys, I have Levi's Stadium. You want to come play football? I think you might get a few people that.
Hey, you guys want to go play some ball? Football? No way. It's like, well, yeah. I've got Levi's Stadium. You're like, oh, Levi's Stadium. Okay, I guess I have to play. Like, you can't say no to that.
I have a broken ankle, but I'll be there.
Here's one from Samson. If you could spend the day with one 49er, current or former player, who would it be and what would you guys do?
Ooh, it's got to be George Kittle. I would do whatever he wanted to do.
What if he wanted to go to Levi's Stadium because you also had that rented out and you had to tackle him?
I had to tackle. That's cool. I'll always have that story. And then I woke up in the hospital 6 hours later. I was slightly concussed.
Honestly, he's so fast, you probably wouldn't touch him. So he's like, you remember that time that you probably just hurt your hamstring trying to chase him down?
But it's Kittle, so you know he'd want to make contact.
Yeah, you know probably, he would make sure that contact was made.
Yeah,
right.
He'd be like, actually, I'm a blocker on this down, and then just roll you over.
That would be fun, actually. That would be the most fun thing to do is try, like, say, okay, let's go, Sherm. I'm going to get open. I'm going to make a catch on you. Like, that's
Ooh,
the goal.
Ooh, I like it.
You know, one of those kind of things.
Catch passes from Jimmy G.
Yeah,
what's
catch
up?
Passes. Try to cover somebody. Try to cover.
Yeah, I like it.
Try to tackle. Try to rush the passer. See what that's like.
Try to block Bosa.
Oh, God. I would be the worst at that, for sure. Of all the things, right. I mean, he would just bull rush me on my back.
You just wouldn't even touch him, like you said. He'd be so quick, so fast, you wouldn't even touch him.
I'd have better luck trying to juke an offensive lineman and get a sack than trying to block somebody. There's no way I could block anybody.
No, I don't think I could either. It's been a few years since I've done any of that.
I would have a rough time blocking like a cornerback blitz, let alone a pass rusher, a defensive end.
I like it.
Have you heard of VidSig?
VidSig, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, VidSig. So it's a company that they get high profile athletes, actors, and you can do a video conference with the person, or you can get them to sign something for you. And they're doing it with some 49ers right now. This week it's Jerry Rice, and they do have some for sale deal for Thursday, and you can hang out with them live one on one. You get them to sign a photo, you could get him to sign a football. There's different levels of things. You can just have a chat. He's like, I don't want him to sign anything. I just want to have a Q&A and chat with the GOAT. And it's pretty interesting. 5 minutes,
That's
3 minute
awesome.
Videos. It's pretty rad if you're looking for like a gift for somebody. And it kind of goes right along with these questions we've been talking about. Who would you choose? Jerry Rice. I mean, Jerry Rice is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be number one. Pretty easy. Steve Young. I think Steve Young actually might be number one.
Steve Young's your guy?
Yeah, I think Steve Young's always my guy, man.
I think they did one on VidSig with Joe Montana, too.
Oh, nice.
And I think there's some more coming up. I heard, don't quote me on this, maybe somebody that wears 85, 97 that we just talked about might be getting involved soon. So
might be worth looking into, guys.
I think maybe the coolest one, because it's like a surprise, is where you get somebody like, they have right here, they have Jerry Rice video shout out for somebody else. So it's like a gift. You like say, hey, I got a friend here that wants to say something to you, you know, for somebody's birthday. It's Jerry Rice. And he's like, hey, wink, where's the wink and the stink? That's kind of fun.
Wink and the stink. That's great. You know, actually, it's funny. My wife did that for my daughter. She got really into Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So
there you
got
go.
Melissa Joan Hart to call and like say hello to my daughter. It was the best day of her life.
VidSig.com. I don't see Sabrina the Wish on here, but they got Jerry Rice. You know what's amazing is how awesome NFL footballs look.
Like the actual
NFL football. Yeah. It's like the branding is burned into it, and it's like such high quality leather. Like an NFL football with the gold Wilson, it's a beautiful thing. I need to have.
And it's got
get,
like the little emblem too. Like,
right.
Oh man, yeah. It's amazing.
I need to get a football. I need to get an NFL, legit, authentic NFL
They're
football.
They're hard.
And just
too.
Have an, oh, they, yeah. Oh no.
You'd be surprised, people, if you've never touched a real NFL football before.
Yeah, that's why Tom Brady deflated them. And that's why kickers used to like microwave footballs when they had control over it. Like, do anything you can to get it a little bit softer and manipulate it, because it's really hard and it's more oblong, too, than the college ball, right? You always hear about how much easier it is to catch and throw a college ball than an NFL ball.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Where are we at here on questions? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. It's the off
Welcome
season.
To Winky Wednesdays.
It's the off season. That's what happens. Here we go. How good are the Cardinals? This is from DC. How good are the Cardinals going to be this season? Are
That's
you worried
tough,
about the Cardinals?
Man. I'm not that worried about them. Like, I get it. They added, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. That's cool. I just don't think they've ever had a really good defense, right? I mean, it's all right. Their defense is okay.
I'm excited to see their first round pick, Isaiah Simmons, cover George Kittle, because he would seem to be like the perfect if you could draw up a player in a lab to cover George Kittle, mm-hmm. that's who you would want. You know, ran a 4.39 at 6'3", 6'4", 200, almost 240 pounds. So, you know, it's week one, too, which is nice for the Niners. Like, he's not going to be ready for George Kittle in week one. They play again week 16. Might be a little bit easier there.
Sure.
But the Cardinals, here's what I'll say about the Cardinals. I don't know how good Kyler Murray's going to be. I don't know if he's going to take that year two jump like we've seen the last 2 years. He could become what we saw Lamar Jackson become last year in his second year, or Patrick Mahomes the year before that in his second year. Like, that's a possibility because of what we saw and the potential that Kyler Murray has that we saw as a rookie. So I don't know where he's going to be, which is a huge key to what the Cardinals are going to be. But they were annoying as hell to play last year, and they're better mm-hmm. this year. So at the very best, it's going to be a pain in the ass to play the Cardinals right now.
Yeah, you said the guy that worries me. It's obviously Murray, just because the 49ers kind of had fits with the, you know, the scrambling quarterback, the guy who can, you know, get outside the pocket and make a little something extra happen. But yeah, there's also the chance that he stumbles and has that sophomore slump and you know, regresses and you know, he's not what he once was, and Fitz is another year older, and you know, they got Kenyon Drake coming out of the backfield and you know, and Chase Edmonds, so they got a couple of weapons there as well. But yeah, obviously, anytime you're playing a division rival, you know, it's a little bit scary, but like you said, I love that they come at him week one, you know, and the 49ers have had their number lately. So that's really good. And I'm not that worried about him, but that's just because, you know, I'm a 49er fan. I'm coming off a 13-3 season where you won both games against the Cardinals last year. And, you know, it's there's a lot of confidence that comes along with this, but yeah, I'm going to say I'm not worried. Maybe that week 16 game, I'll be a little bit more worried, but heading into the season, I like our chances week one.
How many games do you need to win the West? It took 13 last year.
I think the West might beat up on each other, man. I hate to say it.
Better teams, but fewer win totals?
Yeah, it might only be 10. You might only need 10 to win it.
Niners are going to muster 10 wins. I mean, come on. I mean, obviously, a lot can happen. We saw what happened to the Rams after going to a Super Bowl, but 10 sure. wins, I mean, if you gave me 10.5 as the over-under, I'm banging the over on that all day long, which might be actually the win total that I saw recently for the 49ers, is 10.5 wins in Vegas.
Really? Yeah, I would take the over on that. Just looking at the schedule, I think I had them at 12.
All right, here we go. There's an email I'm going to get to next, Nick, and we've still got some more tweets. All kind of, it's endless, man. The offseason's crazy. The conversation is endless about football and about the 49ers. So let's keep this thing going next. David wants to know how you grieve for a lost player that you are a fan of. And this is going to happen whether it's someone whose career runs their course, like Joe Staley, or they're traded, or free agent, or their career is cut short due to injury. David says, "Dear Brian and Wink, it was sad to see Matt Breida go. He was my favorite player. This reminds me of when the 49ers let Merton Hanks go in the late 90s. I sulked for weeks. I'm curious, what departures, current and past, have caused you the most grief?"
It's tough to see one of your favorite guys go. For me, it was Frank Gore. I did not like seeing Frank Gore leave the 49ers. That was probably my least favorite departure as a 49er fan. And it was tough, and I'm still bitter about it. Like, there's still a part of me that wishes he was still on the 49ers. And, you know, maybe there's a part of me that'll never let that go. But you just move on. You know, you just welcome in the next guy and you say, all right, you're my guy now. And, you know me, I bought a Marquise Goodwin jersey. You know, I didn't get to wear it all that much. And I had one of my employees turned it into a mask. So I've now got a 49ers mask courtesy of my Marquise Goodwin jersey. So I made the most of it. See, you make the most of your situation and you move forward.
Turn that Matt Breida jersey into a mask. That's what.
And hold on to it. He could always come back to the 49ers too.
That's because true.
I had a Pablo Sandoval jersey that I was like, I guess I could get rid of this. And then he came back to the Giants. So you never know. He could always come back. His career's not over.
Joe Montana would have been an interesting one if Steve Young was bad.
Right.
That would be the one.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I mean, Carlos Hyde never lived up to it, too, which is probably why I was so bummed they let Gore go.
Jerry Rice playing for the Raiders was annoying, and then playing for the Seahawks
was even worse.
It didn't look right. Like, he kept playing, and I understand why you want to keep playing. But it was like,
sure,
that ain't right, man. That does not look right.
But I got it. Like, it made sense because Terrell Owens was there, and he was ready to, you know, take the reins and be the next great thing. Like, it's a sport. You got to just remember that. Yeah, they're your favorite guys for now, you know? And there's always that part of you that'll remember the good times you had, but it's just like, you know, when you move on from a significant other or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know, just life goes on.
Merton Hanks was a great callback by David.
That was good. I forgot about that. What about you? Do you have a what was your toughest one? Was it the Rice one?
Yeah, Rice was, it wasn't right. I didn't like it. It's always sad to see guys go. It's tough when they're traded too. Like free agency, I get it. When you retire, like, what can you say? You know, Joe Staley gives the 49ers 13 years. That was awesome. It's like, you know.
Yeah, Patrick Willis retired. Right. You know? Like, that hurt, obviously, but
I get it. That definitely hurt, yeah. Patrick Willis was my guy, too, so that one was difficult. But when a guy gets traded, it's tough because that's like the team letting him go, pushing him out the door.
Right.
Can you imagine if you got traded? Like, what is that like for a player to be like, hey, guess what? You're going to Miami. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, you got to uproot and totally move to a whole nother state. Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't imagine because obviously if someone said, hey, I'm going to give you an NFL contract to go play in Miami, you'd say, cool, let's go. But
yeah,
so there is on one side, it's, you know, boohoo, but that's crazy that you just trade a guy.
Yeah. We don't want you around here anymore, but these guys do. So go hang out with them.
And some players want to be traded, which is also weird. It's like, okay, I get you don't want to be where you're at, but you don't know where you're going to go either. What if went to a bar and you're like, you know what? I don't like my date. I want to trade. It's like, you might end up with any of those, you know, you might end up with anybody in the bar.
Right. It's not up to you. What if your date got to choose?
And that's the thing. Your date does get to choose.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This could be bad. You didn't think this one through, buddy.
Oh, Lordy. Where are we at here? Let's find some more. Here we go. I'm rewatching the 2019 season for mailbag questions, Jeffrey says. Okay. Yeah, he's doing homework just so he can get a good mailbag question. See, that's the kind of dedication
respect.
I like. Shout out to Jeffrey. He says, one, Sanders was in the slot a lot. Is Ayuk more Trent Taylor insurance than a necessary Sanders replacement? And two, Person was solid on screens and runs, but pass protection was a real issue. Is Brunskill an upgrade?
Tough call. It'll be, you know, only time will tell with the upgrade there with Brunskill.
Right. The Brunskill one, I think he is better. Like that's what Brunskill was best at, was as a tackle being a pass blocker, and he's athletic to get out on those screens and do some things. So I think Brunskill probably is an upgrade over Mike Person, even though one of the games he started, I liked Brunskill better at tackle, or at least he played better at tackle. Maybe he didn't practice as much at guard because one of those games, and also it was against the Rams, so you're playing against the best defensive tackle in the league. But one of his games at right guard was definitely his worst of the season. But I would think that Brunskill is an upgrade. And I one of the things that Matt Williamson and I say on the Locked On NFL show a lot is, believe when teams tell you something, and the 49ers are telling us that they think that Brunskill and Tom Compton are probably both better than Mike Person at this stage because they let him go and they signed a different guy to bring him in Tom Compton. And I wouldn't be surprised if Compton's the guy who ends up starting at right guard and they like Brunskill as that swing tackle. And that scenario I could see making a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a smart thing to say because obviously the NFL team has a lot more information than we do, than reporters have, than the average fan has. You know, if they tell you they believe something, they probably believe it, and you should probably trust them. And as you said, everybody probably has their worst game at guard against the Rams, so that's kind of an outlier.
It's a good way to put that. As far as Ayuk goes, ideally he's more of a Sanders replacement because, Jeffrey, I think you said it yourself, Sanders was in the slot a lot, and that's what Shanahan said about Ayuk, is that he can line up outside, he can line up in the slot, as can Debo, as can a lot of the receivers. So I don't think you need Trent Taylor insurance because every other, like, Trent Taylor's kind of a slot only guy, but every other receiver on the 49ers can play in the slot. You know, they're just basically
Kendrick Bourne played a ton in the slot.
Right. So I don't think you need insurance for him. It's just that everybody can play in the slot. It's just that that's what he does best. So that was his specialized role. But ideally, IU can replace Sanders and Taylor, where you can play him outside, you can play him inside, play him wherever you want, just like everybody else. And you have a little bit more positionless football. And I've talked a lot about that and talked a little bit about it yesterday, too. And if you run someone like Jalen Hurd, because Jalen Hurd might be more of a bigger slot guy, or the 7th-round rookie Juwan Jennings, you run them out there in the huddle, the defense says, okay, they're going 3 wide, Let's go with three cornerbacks. Let's go with our nickel package. And then all of a sudden, Jalen Hurd, who is 240 pounds, essentially is the tight end who's blocking a defensive back. That's an advantage. He can body up on him in the passing game. You motion him to the backfield, former college running back. Well, now right. That looks a lot different. Now you got a base offense in there. You can pound it on a team that just went into nickel defense. So I think positionless football has a lot to do with it. He wants to be able to use the same package, throw the ball to anybody, run the ball out of the package to multiple players, not just the running back, be able to motion guys anywhere in the slot, in the backfield, outside. I think that's the idea. So the versatility is why Ayuk is the one that came out on top for the 49ers in the draft.
Yeah, you said it. Positionless football. You got to love that. Everybody could be considered an offensive weapon in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And it's just fun to watch. And I can't wait to see what Ayuk looks like in a 49er uniform, what they do with him, the kind of schemes they run for him. And you saw it a lot last year with Debo, you know, a lot of inside runs and a lot of, you know, stunts and just ways to get the ball into his hands. And I have a feeling they're going to do the same with Ayuk. You know, they traded up for him. They really like this guy and they think he fits in well. And you said it earlier. Trust what a team tells you. And if a team trades up to get a guy, they really like him.
And yeah, instead of having three tight ends and four running backs and six wide receivers, you have 14 OWs, yeah, right?
I love it. I'm into it.
14 OWs. That's the best way to think about it. It just seems like that's the way Kyle Shanahan's offense is trending.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of that Kyle Shanahan offense, man. I've been loving watching it grow here as well and watching Jimmy G grow under it and watching just him. You know, you could see Shanahan get more and more confident with his play calling. Like, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to go back to this later. I'm going to set this up now so that I can use this other play later in the game. And, oh, man, yeah, this is going to be it's gonna be a big season, you know, stepping forward and seeing what kind of progression he makes as well as a play caller. And because, you know, everybody's seen it, you know, they got a lot of tape on the 49ers. They won 13 games. They went to the Super Bowl. There's a lot, no one's going to take them lightly coming into this season. So he's got a lot of planning he needs to do. And I'm excited to see what he comes out with.
Right. And the Pro Football Focus guys, I think it was Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, former San Francisco Giants minor league pitcher, by the way, Steve Palazzolo, 6'7", I think he goes. But that's an interesting, you go from minor league baseball player to Pro Football Focus football analyst. That's an odd career transition for Steve.
I'll say,
but
I like
he talks
it,
about how coaches, the great coaches are innovators. It's not about what scheme you run. It's not about running someone else's scheme. You're the innovator. Other people imitate you. So it's why you see everybody who shakes off the Belichick tree, they're not Belichick, right? And
right.
There's a lot of Bill Walsh disciples out there and a lot of people run the West Coast offense, but the innovators are the really good ones, the Andy Reids. And I think Kyle Shanahan's like that. And you see people who work with Kyle Shanahan's get a bunch of jobs and their offense doesn't look like Kyle Shanahan's offense. Mm-mm. So continuing to innovate, adjust to the adjustments. I think that's the best thing the 49ers have going for them going forward because Shanahan is that guy. He is the innovator.
It's evolution, baby.
That's right. Nick, thanks for joining me here on a Winky Wednesday, as always.
My pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.